Hey everybody, Andrew from The Family Gamers. We've got something exciting for you this week. This is going to be the first week of a bi-weekly series that we're doing where we interview a developer or a publisher. These will be opposite our normal podcast, which should be appearing every other Monday. And we hope that you enjoy it. This first episode is going to be an interview that we did with James Hudson. He's the Dumbledore of Druid City Games, who are releasing their new game on Kickstarter tomorrow, The Grim Forest. So please enjoy. This episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by Druid City Games. Head over to druidcitygames.com to get more information about their game Barnyard Roundup out right now and their upcoming Kickstarter for The Grim Forest, which starts on March 21st. druidcitygames.com. Hey everybody, welcome to The Family Gamers. We are really excited to have a friend of the show in-house tonight. We are talking to James Hudson, who is one of the founders of Druid City Games. We call him the Dumbledore of Druid City Games.
Yeah, the headmaster.
The headmaster of Druid City Games. So, welcome James to the show. How are you doing?
I'm great. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so we wanted to have you on for one of our developer interviews because... Well, there's a few reasons, actually. So you've got a game that's coming out on Kickstarter pretty soon, but we'll get to that in a minute. So once we uncovered this game, actually, Anitra, why don't you talk about this game that you found online that you were super interested in?
Sure. So I was just poking around on the internet, and one of our other gamey friends linked to this upcoming game called The Grim Forest. And I said, huh, I like a fairy tale theme. Ooh, it's got miniatures in it, and it's definitely family friendly, and the artwork looks beautiful, and this looks cool, and we need to find out more about it.
Right.
And so I immediately grabbed Andrew and I'm like, hey, look at this game.
Yep. So that's how we found out about Druid City. But then as we started doing some more research, we looked into like the vision of Druid City Games, and that was something that was super appealing to us. So James, why don't you talk a little bit about sort of the vision of the company and the kinds of games that you're making?
Sure. So, you know, I guess it was about 3 years ago I came in and my family was, I came in from work and, you know, like probably a lot of people who work a normal job, you spend the majority of your day there and you come home and all of my family had their face in their electronics and I'd been home for like 10 minutes and it was like, you know, hey dad, but you know, nobody was really engaging with me. And so that frustrated me, but then I was like, nah, that's it. I'm going to find a board game or something. And, you know, there at Barnes & Noble, there was a Power Grid on the shelf, and I brought it home, and I've never looked back. And that was about 3 years ago. And so I'm relatively new to the board gaming scene compared to old veterans that have been around forever. So on that end,
Power Grid was your entry game?
Yep, Power Grid was my entry game. That's what got me hooked.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's a little intense for just getting started on the hobby, but I mean, I like it. It's a great game.
Well, you know, and then I went through the regular tropes. You know, we ended up hitting the Carcassonne and the Ticket to Ride and all those good great games. So, but yeah, overall, you know, what we want to do is we wanted to make a game and games that, you know, really appeal to the social side of things. And so my first game, Barnyard Roundup, that I designed, I got tired of playing with my son, 7 now, but you know, he was 5 and I was like, man, I don't want to play Chutes and Ladders anymore. And I do not want to play any more Candyland. This doesn't feel like playing games. This feels like a job. And so I wanted to design a game that was fun for gamers, but the kids would also be able to pick up and, you know, instantly be able to play. And so that was kind of the inspiration behind Barnyard Roundup, because who doesn't like to bluff? Bluffing is so much fun. So,
That's funny. On the very first episode of this show, Anitra said, what was it that you said?
I believe I said, getting stabbed in the face is better than playing Candyland.
Yeah. So you're speaking right to our hearts with that, I think. All right. So Barnyard Roundup went through Kickstarter, right?
Yes, right. That's right.
And so is that now available for purchase? Because that's all done.
That's right. So it hit retail in January, actually. And so Tom gave it a review a couple weeks ago, and he gave it the kids' gavel of approval. So he gave it He's, you know, mm-hmm. he gave it the ups and downs, a typical Tom review. And, you know, yeah, so it's been in review. It's been in retail for about a month and a half now. And we got it all out to all of our backers, and we were on time, all of the above, you know, and no one has I've only had two people call me an idiot so far. So, you know, out of 600 backers, I feel like that's a pretty good percentage.
I think that puts you above the curve. Yeah.
That's pretty good for your first Kickstarter, I guess. So if people are interested in Bar Nerd Roundup, where can they find out more information / purchase a copy?
So if you just want to like research the game and know a little bit more about it, you can come to my website, Druid City Games. We've got a great video on the page about the game. It's the Rules Girl. I don't know if she's a new content provider. She started doing some really awesome rule explanations. And so I ran out and grabbed her. I was like, you have to do my game. You're so great. And her accent is so cool. I still haven't pinned down where it's from. So they can research the game there. But then, you know, it's in all the it'll be in distribution. So it's in any of your friendly local gaming stores. I would always encourage people to go there first. If you don't have one of those nearby, then you can find it online. There's plenty of places online to get it.
Awesome. So so we kind of danced around the Grim Forest a little bit. But I think when this this episode airs tomorrow, quote unquote, will be the day that the Kickstarter goes live. So March 21st. Is that right?
That's right. March 21st. So,
OK. Awesome. So talk about the game. Talk about really where you came from with the miniatures and building the house and all that stuff. And yeah, just talk about the game a little bit and what kind of game it is.
Sure. So last year at Gen Con, I met Tim Eisner and I talked to him online a little bit, and he did March of Ants. He is an awesome, awesome designer who's on the front end of his awesome designing career. So when we met at Gen Con, I played the game, and it was my favorite game at Gen Con. I'm talking, it was in prototype form too, and it was still my favorite game. And I was like, mm-hmm. all right, so Tim, what are you doing with this? Because I wasn't necessarily looking. I've still got four or five designs of my own and my team's designs. And we weren't necessarily looking to publish anybody's game. And he was like, well, I'm going to pitch it. And I'm like, well, I want it. I don't even know if I should say that, but I want it, you know. And if you guys have seen Saving Mr. Banks, so it, for people who have not seen Saving Mr. Banks, you should see it. But it's the story of Mary Poppins and Walt Disney going to P.L. Travers and trying to get her to give him the rights to Mary Poppins to make the movie. And this is what it was very much like that. Tim was like, no, I'm going to save this. This is my special baby game. It was my first design. I want this to go to a big company. And to be honest, James, you had a $17,000 Kickstarter, and that's the only thing you got under your belt. No thanks. So I was like, okay.
Well, at least he was honest, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, I told him, I get it, man. I get it. I was like, but you don't understand. This will be my baby. I have vision for this thing. And so... so anyway, we worked through it in a while, and I finally convinced him, because I literally would not leave him alone. I'm sending, like, he's in Portland, and I'm like sending singing telegrams to him. You know, you've got to let me have this game. And so we get that done, and we get him signed up. And so we've been working on it really nonstop for like the last 5 or 6 months, and it's just gorgeous. It just really is gorgeous. So in the game, you go to places out on the board. There's field, straw, brickyard, and a market. You go there, and you're trying to get resources. So if you go to a place by yourself, you play your cards secretly on where you want to go. And if you go there by yourself, you get all the resources of that place. But if you go with someone else, you have to share the resources with whoever you're there with. So if, you know, if three people go to the same place, it's going to be slim pickings. And so you're trying to do – it has more deduction than guessing. So you're looking around the board, and you can usually get a pretty good idea of what everybody's trying to build and the other resources that they need to do that. Okay, so that's kind of the base level. But then we have these fable cards, and these fable cards do all kinds of stuff. But it's all based off of, are you with somebody or are you not with – are you with other people? And so it takes the deduction up another level of, okay – I've got this fable card that will let me take two resources from every pig that I'm with. Well, okay, can I guess where everybody else is going to go and try to get there, go there with them? And so it has this, that's kind of the real main mechanic of the game. Like, you're just really the whole time trying to deduce where everybody's going and then trying to get your plan to work. But then there's all kinds of stuff that can get messed up in between. And I would tell everybody who right now is already cringing because they hate Take That games, it's really not take that. I mean, there definitely are some moments of that, but it's very lighthearted. Every time I've playtested this game with what I would consider a true Euro fan who cringes every time they hear the word "take that," they have come away from the game and said, "Hey, that was it was really a good time, and it didn't bother me at all." So, and you know, you're trying to build three houses, just the, like the old fable of old. You know, the three little pigs who can build three houses first. And then if we end the round and we me and you both have a three houses, it's who's built the three sturdiest houses. And so you know, you're it's a little bit of a race, but it's more of a triggers the end game when somebody builds the third house.
Right.
All right. Cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, and you know, I mean, we talked about the art already and how it looks gorgeous and the miniatures look gorgeous and all that stuff. The difficulty with that sometimes is in pricing and how do you figure out how to make this a game that's affordable and approachable for a family. So I don't know. I actually don't know the answer to this question. So I'm asking for my advocation as much as everybody else. But what is the price point going to be on the game? And what are you going to have multiple Kickstarter tiers available to people? And what might those be?
Sure. So we're still working out and locking down every little detail, but I'm going to go, I'll go ahead and talk about where we're at right now. And if it changes, then you can't sue me. for the most part, we are going to take a little bit different approach to Kickstarter than most companies because, and we know we're probably going to take a little bit of a hit with some of the more hardcore Kickstarter group, but we want to present the very best game that we can at the very best price that we can. For the easiest way for you to get in and out. No tricks, no stuff coming later, no more add-ons, no more this, no more that. Like, the game is going to be $59, mm-hmm. shipped to the U.S. for free and Canada for free, and very minimal increases for Europe and Australia and rest of the world. We're going to eat a bunch of cost on shipping because we want to present the best game possible. We're going to lay out the majority of the stretch goals from the beginning. And say, you know, here's all the content that we want to add to the game. These are for real stretch goals. We're adding minis. We're adding tons of cards and content. The art costs money. The molds cost money. This is all things that if we didn't bring it to Kickstarter, we literally would only make the base game. And then I don't even know how many we would make of that. So it really is what Kickstarter was intended to be. And we want to just put our best foot forward and say, here is the best game. We think it's fairly priced. It's going to hopefully end up having way more miniatures in it than what the base game shows at the beginning. And I'll be honest, I'm really stoked about these miniatures. There's some really awesome ones in the lineup once we get into the stretch goals. So again, we're not Cool Mini. We're not Rising Sun, which dropped today and, you know, exploded onto the scene, which I was all over that as soon as it happened.
Yeah, that game also looks amazing.
yes, I'm a huge Eric Lang fan. He is one of my top favorite designers. He's an awesome human first, but then his designs are awesome and always have a ton of fun with them. So I'm super excited to see him be successful.
All right, cool. And, you know, and I've seen a lot of pictures and stuff from even just the prototypes of the game that you've been putting up on the Facebook mm-hmm. page, or at least to, you know, various folks from Druid City. And they look spectacular. I mean, they just look awesome. So I would really encourage anybody listening to this to go ahead and take a look at that at druidcitygames.com, or just go to Facebook and search for Druid City Games. And there's tons of imagery up there. And I'm sure the vast majority of that will be on the Kickstarter page as well.
Yeah, the biggest thing on my end is I feel like it's a game that you'll never trade away. You'll never really get tired of playing. I've played it at this point 50, 60 times through play tests and just, you know, working through different mechanics. And I'm not tired of playing it. And every time I play it, it plays a little bit different because the board changes and you can't just like railroad it. You can't go in and say, I'm just going to build two brick houses and a straw house and win that way. It just doesn't work because the resources on the board dictate what you can do, and they change every single game, and there's a different configuration every game. And so one of the things there is, you know, I really wanted to max out the components. I really wanted to bring the world of the Grimm fairy tales to the board and to the table when you're playing. And so that's part of the reason why there's miniatures. You know, we could have easily just had meeples or something like that. our standees. It just, you know, the game is so gorgeous and that world is so beautiful. I just wanted it all there on the table. So when you're playing it, you can really kind of immerse yourself in the story.
Sure, sure.
I'm really excited to see the game hit Kickstarter, and I'm also pretty confident that it's going to be successful. It looks like a ton of fun. I mean, it basically almost looks like the game is completely finished from an asset perspective, too.
You know, we're not going to have any surprises unless there is like pitchforks and fire and torches that demand something that we haven't thought of. For the most part, we've got everything laid out. So if there are no surprises, I mean, I'm hoping to be able to go straight to print and get the ball rolling and get everybody their games as quickly as possible. But yeah, I mean, there's some concept art that has to be finished in the stretch goal world, you know, because you don't know how far down that path you're going to make it. So it doesn't make sense to pay for final art on that. So everything's concept on that end. But Mr. Cuddington, who did is my art team, who did Santorini and Steampunk Rally and the Great Dinosaur Rush. They're really great and super professional, so they'll pump that out quick once we're good to go.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen some of the art from some of those games. It's top notch stuff. So
yeah, they're my secret hidden weapon, and no one else can have them.
All right, awesome. Well, this is going to Kickstarter pretty much tomorrow. What is it, 2 or 3 week Kickstarter? I think
it will go to April 14th, I believe it is. So it's about 27. It's, you know, in that 30-day window-ish area.
Okay.
Awesome. And so, I mean, I have to ask the question, what's next for Druid City?
That is a great question. So we have multiple games in the pipeline. To be perfectly transparent and honest, you know, a lot depends on what Grimm does. You know, when you're a small indie publisher like we are, you know, if you have some capital in the bank, it allows you to do more projects. And so, you know, we've got 4 or 5 games lined up. I've got a game that I designed. It was my first design that I've been dying to do because it is just big and gross. And it would be a CMON type game if they're listening. They would probably do a better job of publishing it than me, but it's that type of just needs a bunch of minis and tons of components and big and gross and dudes on a board and all kinds of stuff. But then we've also got some other games from other designers who've pitched us. And then we've got 2 or 3 other card games. We've got a follow-up game to, so when we were making Barnyard, there were a ton of actions that we wanted to put in the game, but it just didn't make sense for a family style game. So we've got a more gamer's game that involves bluffing, but tons of actions. So it just really, we could go in 1,000 different directions, and I'm really excited for what the future holds. And no matter what, it's going to look really good, and we're going to flesh it out and make it play well before we launch it. So there's that.
Well, you guys are doing great work, and we are super excited for any games that you're putting out in the future.
Yep, they both look awesome so far, and I'm sure that the next one will as well.
Yeah, that's you know, on my end. I am super into the art of all of my games. So if art is crappy or amateur looking, I'm instantly turned off, even if the mechanics are really good. And I know I've got a friend who he could give a crap about what the game looks like. He just wants to do the math and win the game. And so I know that there are people out there listening that are my complete opposite, but it's got to look good.
Well, I will say, playing with kids, the art has art of some games or themes of some games have mattered way more than I would think that they should. So I totally get it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it's a total package, right? You want mechanisms and the art to all come together, which was one of the reasons why I fell in love with this game, because when I first played it, I'll be honest, I didn't like the way it looked at all from the prototype art that he had and the vision that he had for it. And so that's just one of those things where once everybody gets in the same room and you really kind of get everybody lined up and going in the right direction, you can lay out a vision for a project and really turn it in a different way.
I think in one of our past conversations, you mentioned that there was actually a newsletter that people could sign up for to find out more information about the game and about what Druid City is doing.
Sure, sure. So we also have it's on the website, druidcitygames.com, and there's a tab at the top that says newsletter. Haha. And so all you gotta do is go click that, and then it's really easy, first name, last name, email. We don't harass you. You'll only probably get one update from us a month unless we're in Kickstarter season, then maybe two. But we also do I run a group called the Board Game Spotlight, where we do some reviews and we just talk about board games, because just in general, I love board games. And so we, you know, you might get some an update about that here and there, but again, minimal, no spam.
Awesome.
Glad to hear it.
Well, he is James Hudson. He is, as we noted before, the Dumbledore of Druid City Games. Their game is The Grim Forest, and it's coming to Kickstarter on March 21st. Thanks so much for coming on the show, James.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right, take care.
All right.